Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornett, we are about round seven into our battle over the G League, and we welcome into this now three-person fight ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Thanks for the time, Jay.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sarah.
All right, we're going to take less than 30. Let's go 20 seconds on the clock each to present you basically the argument we've made so far, and then we're going to let you chime in. Jordan Cornett, 20 seconds, go.
20 seconds. Well, I believe that the best route would be staying in college simply because the support group is present there that the G League does not have. You've got coaches, you've got academic advisors, you've got the works. And for the NBA that presents mental health to be of such high importance, where is that when you're putting them in essentially a biodome, these young athletes, and putting them off, sectioning them away from the other members of the G League? How are they getting better? What are they doing socially in that aspect that is being missed from college? And it's for security. When you fall out and it doesn't work, you have the ability to fall back on a scholarship.
All right,
in college.
That's enough.
You don't have that with the G League.
All right, 20 seconds on the clock for me. It's all about options, and options are the best thing for these players. If college is still the best route for them, but by all means do it. If they want to make money off of the talent right now and start preparing themselves for the life of being a professional, then they've got coaching and money managing and the opportunity to start that career right away without having to go through the old tried and true way of college. And if that's best for them, then that's the option that should be available to them. All right. Jay, thoughts?
Well, you're both right. Not to cop out, but you're both right. It's an individual decision that's made by each player. You know, I look at it more from a policy level that this is a really good and smart business policy for the NBA to be able to better control the top talent and shape the top talent for entry into the league, and that it also gives your sort of your teams a better opportunity to scout them and to gain information on them while they're you know developing in this G League option. It's funny, I heard a colleague today say that sort of take Jordan's position that it's better to play for evaluation as a player by NBA teams. And this is an NBA person saying it's better to go to college where you're dealing with coaches that have a track record of developing players. And I was going, well, you know, that may be true, but the track record is only because there's been one track for so long. But if I'm college basketball, I'm worried about this because it's only going to expand if it's in any way successful. And with the combination of the one-and-done rule going, that's a large portion, if the one-and-done rule, in fact, is out and you can go out of high school, that's going to be a big swath of really talented players that are not going to play in college. You can't tell me that college didn't benefit from Zion and Kevin Durant and the like. Of course they did.
Yeah, and Jay, I guess a question for me, and we still got to hear more from Sharif Abdul-Rahim, the head of the G League in this initiative, is if you're going to put them in this, they're basically talking about taking them and removing them from the normal construct that a G League player experiences and doing the individual workouts, and we don't know who those coaches will be, but how can they best observe them if they're not in that competitive environment, if they're not competing against other professionals, and they're almost propped up in this position to be successful? What adversity are they really seeing in terms of growth?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, but I think, you know, the G League is operating this like it does with developmental programs for, you know, overseas soccer teams and the like, soccer clubs. And they do, they do a really good job at developing players. You know, you don't necessarily have to be playing in, in ball games every, twice a week in order for the NBA to tell whether you can play. Now that's been the traditional route, but I hardly think that, Duke's games against, East Carolina and all that are really helpful to, Trey Jones and Vernon Carey for their NBA project. It's really only a few games that really matter to NBA personnel, and the rest of it is, do you work hard? Do you have all the measurables? What do you like character-wise and all that stuff? And they're probably in a better position to see that and to help develop that if they're in control of the players from the get-go.
We're talking to Jay Billis here on Spain & Company, ESPN Radio. You sort of alluded to the fact that Adam Silver would want this because the NBA teams can get a better look, have more control over these players than if they're off in the Australian League or even in college, and certainly might be a better fallback for players if they get rid of one and done, they don't get drafted to go into a better, more robust G League to try to make their way back in a year or two later. I'm curious because something Jordan has mentioned is this idea that, you know, if you are in this G League program and it doesn't work out, you're left with nothing. I would imagine that there's some structure there to benefit from, maybe not quite as much as knowing all the boosters and alumni of a Duke or a Notre Dame, but I would think that there'd be some way to build a support system, even if they are in this G League and not NBA bubble.
Yeah, I think you can have a support system and some help. But I happen to agree with Jordan on this point that I think generally, not for everybody, but generally, you know, we live in a country that expects you to go to college and to finish college at some point. If a former player wants to be a coach in college at some, you got to have a degree to coach in college. And I think the NBA looks a hell of a lot more favorably upon, you know, all of their personnel and coaches having a college degree. I think it's a helpful thing. And I just know from personal, you know, sort of my personal life that if you don't go when you're younger, it certainly lessens the chance that you're ever going to go back. And so I think it's really good for a person coming out of high school to establish a relationship with a really good school. If they stay a year, that's better. That's fine, because you're way more likely to go back. And look how much money, just, you know, not to make it about money, but look how much money that, like, Kevin Durant and Kevin Love and Carmelo Anthony and all these different players that were one-and-doneers have given back to their universities. Tons of money. And that relationship, I think, benefits the player, not only short-term but long-term, and it certainly benefits greatly the school.
Yeah, and I think that relationship that you speak to speaks to the strength of the network that comes with going the educational route and aligning yourself with an institution because of the opportunities it may present if the playing side doesn't simply work out. Jay, I want to focus on the rise in the awareness of mental health and that being an initiative from the NBA and dealing with guys in their mid-20s, their early 20s to their late 20s, the main group of guys that play in that league, and trying to combat that. Won't this be magnified with a group like this when you're pulling these kids and putting them in this bubble alone and removed from any kind of social construct that you might be able to receive from college?
Well, I think that's entirely the point of what the NBA is doing here is they are putting them in a construct that is different than, you know, just throwing them on a G League roster or putting them on an NBA roster. Like, NBA teams now are far more in tune with having to deal with teenagers than they were 10, 20 years ago. They have really good systems in place. And your point about mental health and the awareness of it is really important and a really good point. That, I mean, maybe younger people are not as aware of this, but sort of the rate of sort of depression and anxiety in younger people is really alarming. And I don't know the reasons for it, all the reasons, but I know that it's a very real thing. And having dealt with it myself through my family and friends of ours and people we're very close to, and then dealing with all the different folks on college campuses that I know and high school campuses, it is really a debilitating and very difficult issue. So I'm not surprised that the NBA is on top of it. They need to be just every outlet needs to be, whether it's you're working a media company, a law firm, or a professional sports league.
Yeah, I agree, Jay. And that's one of the things we're looking forward to asking Sharif Abdur-Rahim, like, what is that plan? Because I don't think it's necessarily as cut and dried as Jordan thinks in terms of one place will totally be in control of that and the other won't be. It feels like it's going to be a part of that development plan. We're talking to Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst. I'm curious because sort of the crux of the argument is we both agree there should be options, but Jordan considers this to be particularly exploitative, almost on a par with or not that much better than college. I think the opportunity to make money off what you're doing instead of just making someone else money means that this is less exploitative than the NCAA. And if it's a better fit, then it might be a better choice for some people. Where do you fall on whether this is, it's not necessarily just a wrong or right, college is bad, this is good. But I don't think it's nearly as bad as Jordan seems to think it is in terms of taking advantage of players.
Yeah, if it's just from the standpoint of exploitation or taking advantage, The NCAA wins that fight by a long shot. Like there's never been a multi-billion dollar business that exploits its revenue drivers more than the NCAA. And like folks look at that word exploitation as if you're talking about human trafficking. I'm not suggesting that. What I am saying is that any time that a person in authority or a group in authority makes money off of another while at the same time limiting that entity from making money, that's exploitation by definition. Yes. And that's what the NCAA is doing with athletes. It's exploitation, period. And that doesn't mean that athletes don't, you know, do well and they're not indentured servants or slaves or he said it's not human trafficking. It's not on that level. But it is exploitation all the same. And the fact that when you hear, or at least I hear people say, hey, they don't have nobody's putting a gun to their head to play college sports. That's an absurd thing to say, because nobody is putting a gun to the head of NCAA institutions to sell these players for billions of dollars and then claim it's amateur. You know, they could all run it like Division III if they wanted to, and they don't. And my biggest problem with this whole G League thing has nothing to do with the NBA. Like, the NBA is fine, and they should do what's in their best interest and in their best business interest. It's competition. What frosts me is the NCAA, and I'm counting the member institutions, they'll say, well, we're about education, we're educators, and we're about integrity and all these different things. And then they wind up saying to players, essentially, if you don't want to be Shane Battier or Bill Bradley, we don't want you at all. And they put up all these roadblocks and difficulties for players when we should be welcoming players into college. And if they want to make money, great. That's something. If we really believe in education, we should be touting education to these players, not putting up a, you know, saying talk to the hand and go to the G League if you don't want to be, you know, sort of one of our Circle of Champions winners. I don't like that at all. I think it's a bad message.